Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Marianne Wagner, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington's College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. I'm speaking today with Ben Packard at the University of Washington's Earth Lab, an institute at the College of the Environment that is small but mighty as it seeks to develop innovative, just, and equitable solutions to environmental challenges. Ben serves as the Harriet Bullitt Endowed Executive Director of Earth Lab and is responsible for working strategically within and beyond the university to address these environmental challenges by building relationships between the university and the public, private, and nonprofit sectors. Before coming to Earth Lab, Ben served as the Global Managing Director of Corporate Engagement at the Nature Conservancy and as Vice President of Global Responsibility at Starbucks. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, Marianne. Pleasure to be here with you today.
As university programs go, yours seems like a fairly new department. Tell us about Earth Lab's purpose and what do you aim to do?
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. At the highest level, Earth Lab's purpose is really about connecting the university across disciplines and connecting the university with community partners. And when we say community partners, we think really broadly about that. We think about nonprofits, government agencies at all levels, businesses, tribes, and so many more community stakeholders. And the purpose is not just to connect them, but to connect them to the amazing research and the resources at the University of Washington to create equitable and actionable solutions with a particular focus around climate and its intersection with social justice. You talked a little bit about my background there, about working with the Nature Conservancy, working with private sector when I was at Starbucks for 15 years. And if there's one thing I've learned is that environmental solutions are not single disciplinary expertise. They're not single sectors that single-handedly pass a law, change a business practice, advocate for something. They're all of those things combined. And any durable, lasting environmental solutions tend to lean on multiple disciplines, multiple sectors, relationships built on trust. And the University of Washington has incredible resources in its research capacity and amazing students interested in solving these problems. And Earth Lab is essentially a bridge connecting us across disciplines and connecting us in the community.
I like that visual of describing your institute as a bridge. But this sounds a little unusual for a department at a university. Is Earth Lab unique?
It is. It is very unusual. You're seeing a trend nationally of universities seeking to connect their research to solve society's most pressing challenges. And there is precedent here for us that we're learning from actually at other universities, at the University of Arizona, the University of Minnesota, Columbia, University of Vermont, Stanford, and other places where they're really seeking to connect research with decision makers.
What are your geographic boundaries? Do you work on projects around the globe?
We do. If you look at some of the things that we've been able to fund through our innovation grants projects, we've actually funded projects right here in the city of Seattle, and we've funded projects in South America and projects that have impacts in parts of Asia. So what we're looking for are, most environmental solutions or environmental questions driven by a community are local in nature, but they are scalable in the sense that they're replicable. And I can tell you a story about one of them, if that's of interest, here in Seattle, where through our innovation grants program, there was a partnership between some folks at the School of Public Health and a community organization in South King County called El Centro de la Raza. And El Centro approached some of the School of Public Health officials because they were approached by the city of Seattle to identify whether or not planting vegetation. They wanted to know whether or not vegetation would actually mitigate some of the extremely high rates of asthma and air pollution in the flight path to SeaTac Airport. And through a collaboration with the School of Public Health, the School of Environmental and Forest Sciences, the College of Engineering, they were able to monitor air quality using drones in the flight path of SeaTac and looking at different vegetation patterns underneath that to answer that question about whether or not the vegetation was doing anything to mitigate the impacts. And think about the thousands of airports around the world with flight paths, with communities living in those flight paths. So a local question driven by a community partner, leveraging multiple disciplines here at the University of Washington with great expertise to answer a community-driven question that's happening in communities all over the world. And that's the kind of, those are the dimensions of projects that we're really excited about. But they can't be, they have to be based in community, right? They have to be based in a local community to get it right.
You really seek out research that is applicable in multiple scenarios. This is That's an excellent example of working with airports. Wonderful. Yeah.
And that's again the ingredients for us is working on community-driven questions. We sometimes use the terms science to action, and there's incredible science and incredible research. And I think we were just ranked number 17 in the world in terms of universities and number 3 in terms of public universities in the world. And that amazing research with support for faculty and community partners to work together, because that's a pretty non-traditional way of being in academia.
Can you tell me the genesis of this rather unique idea? How did this come about?
So I guess, as I understand it, because the idea of having Earth Lab goes back to ideas about creating the College of the Environment in 2009 and 2010. And one of the first things I did when I started, or actually when I was in the conversation about becoming the inaugural executive director of Earth Lab, was to look back at some of those founding documents. And it's really interesting because the Regents and the faculty that put this proposal together to create the College of the Environment in 2009 and 2010 were very prescient in their thinking that it was not enough to just bring Earth systems together in the College of the Environment, which was very unusual in academics to do that kind of reorganization. But they brought the Earth systems and they created the largest College of the Environment in the country here at the University of Washington, with incredible breadth and depth of Earth system all together in one research body. But the Regents and the folks who put this proposal together had the foresight to also think about, it's not just about becoming the largest college of the environment, it's actually connecting that research to the pressing questions that we face in society about environmental issues. So there was an idea as part of the creation of the College of the Environment that there would also be the creation of an institute that connected research with decision makers in all parts of the community. That became Earth Lab, named Earth Lab in 2015, and I was hired, started 5 years ago as the inaugural executive director of Earth Lab. But again, it was a reflection of, I think, of the wisdom and the ambition of the University of Washington to connect and apply its research resources to become number one in the world as it relates to impact.
Incredible. EarthLab has a strong focus also on working with students, I've noticed, with no less than 3 student programs. Would you say one of your goals is to train the next generation of people who will work to protect our environment?
Yes, absolutely. It is very exciting for us because we've just recently launched these student programs. And this summer, we, as you mentioned, we do have 3 different partnerships going on to support students. And I can't tell you how much energy, how much optimism. They ask hard questions. They want to be part of the solutions. And that brings such vitality to the programs within Earth Lab. So we're trying to do 3 things at its highest level. You know, I said we're connecting both disciplines and communities with the University of Washington. And we do this in 3 ways. One is by funding projects like I described, kind of innovation grants. The other is supporting 8 different member organizations that operate within Earth Lab. And the third is equipping students with the skills. Well, we use the term transdisciplinary. And transdisciplinary refers to not just interdisciplinary connections, but interdisciplinary expertise being applied in community. So we are trying to equip students and expose them while they're getting their undergraduate degrees to transdisciplinary work in action.
So let's focus for a minute on the Clean Energy Scholars Mentorship Program, which is one of those. This program assigns students to work with businesses in the renewable energy industry side by side. Is that right?
Yeah, this is a phenomenal partnership that just wrapped up its second year. And it's really a collection of CEOs in the renewable energy industry we're reflecting on the lack of diversity in the renewable energy trading industry. And in conversation with those executives led by Level 10 CEO Bryce Smith, we imagined a program where these students coming from around the country, BIPOC students from a variety of universities, three of those students were from the University of Washington, would be mentored and exposed to different aspects of the renewable trading, both the buying and the selling side, by working in these companies. And at EarthLab, we supported these students not just with securing their housing here on campus at the University of Washington while they were here this summer, but by also one afternoon a week they spent with us with students from the Clean Energy Institute, who were here on a National Science Foundation program supporting BIPOC students that were looking at the research side of clean energy industry. So we were connecting students at this early stage in their careers with the research and the business side of renewable energy, by exposing them to research, by the experience they had working in the renewable energy industry. And the students, again, were just a real joy to be with and a real inspiration to all of us.
Well, EarthLab also has interns working with the Washington Ocean Acidification Center, where they monitor effects of ocean acidification on our waters. One student is now studying zooplankton diversity in Puget Sound, I believe. Are your internships a new program?
Yes, the student programs are new to us this summer. And we actually had thought about launching them and we had literally just posted them in late February of 2020, when we knew lots of things around the world slowed down or stopped. Mm-hmm. And we hit pause because we thought the in-person exposure for these students was so important. But obviously that wasn't in the cards in 2020. And so we regrouped and launched that part of our student program this past spring. And I got to tell you, the response was unbelievable. We had 181 students apply for 8 internships and we had the problem you want to have when you launch a program like this, which is that we had a ton of really qualified students and interested and passionate students that wanted those internships. And we ended up with a crew that is just amazing in their interest. And yes, you mentioned the Washington Ocean Acidification student working on those projects. We have 10 interns, actually. 2 of the groups that were going to hire interns, they were so impressed with the students, they ended up hiring 2. So we posted 8 and we ended up with 10 interns who have 1 more week. We have them in the office later today. And they have 1 more week with us working in different parts of the EarthLab member organizations.
Fantastic. I'd love to hear about all those projects. I bet each one is interesting in its own right. So every year you put a call out for new research ideas to fund projects that further EarthLab's goals. So annually, EarthLab starts a suite of new projects. Tell us about these. What are some of your criteria for selecting a research project to fund?
Yes, this is the EarthLab Innovation Grants Program, which we've been able to do for 3 rounds, and we'll be launching another round just later this fall. And the criteria for these grants is, as I mentioned earlier, is a reflection of our purpose to connect across campus and to connect with the community. So you must have faculty from 2 different disciplines working together. And the center of the inquiry or the collaboration has to be generated by a community partner. And I mentioned the project with El Centro de la Raza and our School of Public Health and College of Engineering and others. That was an important collaboration, an important example of multiple disciplines coming together on a community-driven question with student engagement in that monitoring. So the 3 parts of our grants are multiple disciplines, a community-driven question, and student engagement.
If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I am Marianne Wagner, today's host of Coastal Cafe, and we're speaking with Ben Packard of the University of Washington's EarthLab. Ben, can you touch on a few specific projects you've participated in and share results if you have them?
Yeah, we have a lot of projects going on across Earth Lab. As the innovation grants, we've supported 18 different teams of faculty and community partners coming together now over the last three rounds of grants that we've done. And we support eight different member organizations that are each doing transdisciplinary work in their own way or training students to be fluent in this kind of transdisciplinary work. The fun part as executive director of this initiative is that I get exposure or at least a little bit of information enough to be dangerous about all of these projects. The faculty are, and the community partners are really the leaders on these projects, and they're driven by questions of interest between the two of them. So I could tell you a little bit about all of them, but the expertise really comes from the faculty disciplinary expertise and the community questions that are driven.
I noticed that one of them was a study on safety and health in food trucks, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's a really fun one that happened in our first round of innovation grants where some folks in the food truck industry were partnering with the School of Public Health's Department of Environmental and Occupational Health Safety, DEOHS. And I didn't understand this, but the dynamics of the food truck industry it's a starting point for many entering the restaurant industry. And it's not only important in terms of where food trucks are and how they're cleaned and how the residue that comes off the trucks enters potential waterways, but it's also important in that many people who start in the restaurant industry start with a food truck. And so training future restaurateurs in clean green cleaning was a really important touchstone for the Department of Ecology in Washington State. And that was a really, really great collaboration. So you had Department of Health in Washington State, Department of Ecology in Washington State, and the University of Washington School of Public Health working with an industry partner that was really willing to help train food truck operators across the state.
Wow, that's a lot of partners. And yeah. Like they're all really actively engaged.
Yeah, but like I said in the beginning, this is the thing. Any environmental challenge, like if the Department of Ecology just had written up a best practices on clean green materials, but had no partnership to execute it or train the food truck industry operators, it would have gone nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all about partnership and working across those different areas of expertise.
Well, addressing the various impacts of climate change to the environment and surrounding community seems to come up a lot in your projects too. One recent study by Earth Lab affiliated researchers focused on 12 key species that climate impacts will significantly affect over the next 80 years along the West Coast. Are Dungeness crab among those expected to be affected?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on the crabbing industry, but that was a phenomenal paper put out by Dr. Terry Klinger and her colleagues at McGill. And as what I took away from what I read about in discussing that paper is that that kind of predictive modeling is really important to so many coastal communities for their livelihoods, for the health of the ecosystems in which we're talking about people and other parts of the natural system living together. So that's a great example of the kind of resources that exist here at the University of Washington being shared and being of value to communities in really meaningful ways.
Well, that's very true, because in the Puget Sound, the commercial crab fishery recently reached an all-time high of $52.2 million in income for the state. So yes, this research is very meaningful to the communities right here in Washington.
Absolutely.
And so this research identified a problem. Do you hope to fund further research or at least participate in research that might help identify actionable steps?
Yeah, I mean, the Washington Ocean Acidification Center has a track record of continuing to build information and data and monitoring about the changing nature of the ocean. And I'm sure the crab fishery, the other parts of the shellfish industry will be watching closely as they continue to monitor and develop new insights as to the changing nature of the ocean.
Yeah, and you mentioned one of the critical elements to your success are the partners you team up with. Can you give us an example of the kind of partners you seek? You've mentioned a few already, but you could name a few others.
Yeah. I mentioned that we funded 18 projects through our innovation grants programs. Out of those 18, nine have been with tribal partners who are asking critical questions about the resilience of their communities in the face of climate change, and connecting both traditional knowledge with Western science in addressing these questions, and really centering the community knowledge and the community question to be complemented by the kind of research capacity that exists here at the University of Washington. And to do that, a lot of our researchers who do this work in tribal communities realize that the first step is a lot of listening and understanding the questions being asked by community partners. So tribal communities are a really important partner and have been and will continue to be for Earth Lab. Our innovation grants have also, as I mentioned in the example of the food truck industry, working with the Department of Ecology, we've also connected research with the Washington State Department of Health. Early on in our grant rounds, we had researchers here at the University of Washington School of Public Health looking at whether or not — this is all before we all really understood the term zoonotic disease, those diseases that transmit between animals and humans, which we all became very familiar with through COVID. But we had researchers here with information that they knew when the conditions were in the summer traditionally were ripe for zoonotic diseases to actually prosper. And we had public health officials in the eastern part of the state that didn't have this information. So through a partnership with folks in the Department of Public Health, the School of Public Health here at the University of Washington, the Washington State Department of Health, we were able to make visible information and data that was invisible to county health officials so that they were on alert when those conditions were ripe for zoonotic diseases. So again, we're looking for community-centered questions that leverage University of Washington research to answer real-time questions.
Well, do you provide incentives to encourage partners to work with Earth Lab, or do you find that necessary even?
Absolutely. This is, where we started in the conversation, this is a non-traditional way for a university to work. And what we've found is tremendous response to these innovation grant cycles that we've done. The first year we offered $50,000 grants. We've now increased that to $75,000 grants. And through this call that we've done over the last — we've done three rounds in the last 4 years. We took a pause in 2021. We've seen over 100 teams submit grants. We've given 18 grants and we've distributed over $1 million to these collaborations. So this kind of money, which frees up a faculty member to be able to work with a community partner, which supports a community partner's time to work in this way, and also supports a student to be meaningfully engaged, is really important. And those resources, if not but for those resources, we probably wouldn't see this kind of collaboration be able to take place.
It sounds like you do try to integrate students into all of your projects. So that's a criteria?
Absolutely. It's one of the three critical aspects, along with multiple disciplines and a community-centered question or project.
Well, Earth Lab is aptly named, being something like a lab where you explore solutions to a world that for some seems to be unraveling in the face of climate change. So what gives you the most hope working in this global lab?
Boy, there's a lot of sources of hope for me. I actually taught a class this past spring, and the students, it was on sustainable business, which is part of my own past here. But the students, after really digging into the material with us, kind of turned the questions back to me and said, what gives you hope? And how do you stay hopeful with all this data that we have that says that conditions are changing and not so favorably? And personally, what gives me hope is that I think that we are at a dawn of increased interest from so many different parts of our community. Yes, there are those that continue to protect their own self-interest and their own industry, But I really feel this week in particular that we are at a dawn of greater ambition across the country. We are in a state leading the way on legislation and action on climate. And we are in a city that has prioritized climate action on climate in equitable and just ways, like very few other cities. So I'm hopeful because, as I said at the beginning, all of these sectors need to come together. We're seeing the ambition of the business community step up. We're seeing it used to be a trade-off for economic benefits for using clean energy. We're seeing clean energy is now cheaper than fossil fuel generated energy. And so when those things start to flip, it's going to be slow. I think that there's real room to be optimistic. And as I said to the students, yes, the situation is what it is, but what are you going to do about it? Are you going to jump in and be part of the solution, or are you going to wait for someone else to do it? And to me, the Earth Lab community and the level of interest from faculty, from students, from community partners to get together to be more ambitious in the face of this challenge is really inspiring.
As director of such a dynamic program at the forefront of environmental science, what message do you want our listeners to take away with them?
The university is ready to partner, to get after these issues. Our faculty, our students are ready to partner with community organizations from all sectors to work in new ways. And that's what it's going to take for all of us to move forward.
Well, thank you, Ben, for giving us an insider view of the unique work that Earth Lab conducts around the globe and here locally in Washington State. To learn more about Earth Lab, go to earthlab.uw.edu.
Thanks, Marianne, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Ben. And this is Marianne Wagner, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education that support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our station manager, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Kooeaks for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. And thank you for listening. Have a good day. Get on me. How do I see you?